Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtime. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWorldOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL podcast, episode number 505. Sorry about the little bit of dead air delay there. I had my my mic was muted, and I forgot to put it on because I was too busy bringing Rudy in at the last fucking second before showtime. You'd think, you know, we got 15 minutes before the showtime that we get things settled in, that the guys could show up and be there, you know, on time and spontaneous and everything else. Come on, Rudy! Fucking 5 seconds before the show started. Anyhow, he's in the hall right now, and we'll get to him in a minute, and so are the other two boys. Anyhow, so, yeah, this is Christopher Jones. I'm the host of this show, and coming to you from my F-350 cab. It's dark out here now. It's really dark. It's been dark for a while. I guess we're getting winter time. We're going to go time change back. What, November 7th, I understand, we're going to go back to daylight saving time. And then in March, right around my birthday, March 14th, give or take somewhere in there, we jump to daylight saving time. And November of next year, we do not go back to standard time. BC is staying daylight saving time forever and ever and ever, or until something happens. I believe it was they did a poll or something, and it was 85% of the people wanted to stay on daylight saving time year-round. So that's kind of what we're doing. Alberta was 50-50. They've decided to go back and forth. Saskatchewan, they haven't figured out what daylight saving time is yet because they never switched at all. I think back east they're going to do the same thing. So I don't know what's going on with Alberta. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. We'll see. What else is going on? What's cool? What's wonderful? I don't know. We got a province-wide search right now going on for this lady, 22-year-old woman, who parked her van on the side of the road Friday night because it ran out of fuel, broke down, whatever else, and got a ride with somebody, and nobody's seen or heard from her yet. Her van was, like, actually 500 feet from my ranch, so this whole manhunt, so to speak, woman hunt, is going on right beside my property. They've got the big command center set up on the res here, and we got helicopters and planes and drones and everything else looking for her all over the place. It's kind of weird. It's kind of scary that something bad would happen to somebody mere feet from my front driveway. It's very discerning. And the cop shows up at my place Saturday night. They said that we got a missing person. He walked at my driveway, which is about a quarter mile long, because he couldn't figure out how to open the gate. And knocks on the door. It's like 11 o'clock at night. I get out of bed, come out. My wife wakes me up. I was watching a movie. Wife's pounding my, somebody's at the door. So I get up, go to the door, open the door, and it's a cop. And I says, you're lucky you didn't get shot. You don't come up somebody's driveway in the middle of the night unannounced. You come up here with your car with the lights on or something, you know? Anyhow, so found out there was a missing person, and it's not a good thing. So anyhow, I thought I'd share with that. But I think, hang on, did I lose Rudy? I might have lost Rudy. He might have got mad at me. I don't know. I'm going to open up the mics here, let the other two guys come in here. Hello, greetings, Charles. You're there, and 403, that's Will. Both of you guys are there. How you doing? Rudy dropped. Did he drop?
I don't know. He just put in a note saying that he can't hear anything.
Yeah, he said call him back. So I'll call him back. There we go. He didn't hear me yelling at him. Damn.
No.
So we'll call him back right now and see what happens.
That's why we try and start early so we can get rid of all this shit.
What happens when you call in at the last second? Just saying.
Yeah. Well, he kind of was in the muted box. He wasn't allowed to talk to anybody else because they had to flip some buttons. So everything was probably okay. But he hung up anyhow. So Rudy's there now. I think Rudy's here. Are you there, buddy?
How? Yeah, there we go. There we go.
Okay.
Welcome
yeah, so
back.
When you call it late like that, really late, like right before the show, like 10 seconds before the show or something like that, and I'm hustling trying to get the show going and challenged by getting you brought in, you go into this box on Blog Talk, and you don't get to hear anything.
Oh, yeah.
You don't get to say anything until I push a button. So even though you're there,
okay.
Just sit there, okay? Or I've got a suggestion for you. Put up your number when I ask for numbers 15 minutes before the show happens, and then things would be better for everybody, especially me. I like things better. Last minute doesn't work. Okay. Charles, you're
yeah.
there, aren't you?
Talk still here.
You. Okay.
Yep. Everything's going good. By the way, people might be confused why they're hearing us on Tuesday night and not Wednesday night like normal. That's pretty much my fault because I'm
it's
actually
Charles
tied
fault.
Up tomorrow night. So, yep, I'll blame me. Most people will.
Actually,
but hey,
I got tied up last
night.
It was really fun.
Yeah. You can listen to us on Wednesday night as well, just, you know, on the download.
On Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
Yeah,
Apple Podcasts,
Apple Podcasts. I think Stitcher, Podbean has it.
Stitcher, it's on Podbean. It's done quite a bit. If you want to find our show, we're not hard to find.
Wherever you get your podcast.
No.
Yep.
Probably the best Canadian sports talk show in the last decade.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's high.
Anyhow, I'm going to quantify my statement about getting tied up. I was at a volunteer firefighters practice last night, and BC Ambulance came by, and they were showing us how we can help them at a crash, at a motor vehicle accident or at a first responders call. And one of the things was they needed to put somebody into the stretcher and strap them all up for transport, so I got tied up. Okay, so it wasn't anything kinky, if that's where your mind was, because Charles was kind of disgusted.
No, I wasn't. I didn't care.
No? Oh, okay. Or was
hey,
it Will?
You want to be? You want to get tied up? You can get tied up. It doesn't bother me. None of my business.
Rudy, what was that?
Do you ever use spreaders or rams or any of that stuff?
The what?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've trained with them.
Yeah, the lobster claw.
My dad.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we've ripped a few vehicles apart with
them. All hydraulics?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Actually, we've just got a whole new setup, which was over $100,000, and they're all cordless. They're battery electric powered, cordless. $100,000 for the thing.
Yeah.
The batteries are like $11,000 each, and they just rip vehicles apart.
Yeah, we got the cordless on one of our trucks, and the other one is hydraulic. But, yeah, those newer ones, they're pretty expensive. They're cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can rip through anything.
Very cool. Very cool. William, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing back there?
I'm good. I'm just
cool.
Sitting here listening to you guys talking about something I don't care about. So, you know, but that's just me.
Well, you would care about it when you have a jammer and the first aid guys show up to help you out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Did an ambulance come and get you when you crashed your bicycle?
No. I rode my bicycle home and got my wife to take me to the hospital.
Hmm. I thought you said your bicycle was fucked.
No, my bicycle was perfectly fine. My helmet was fucked.
Mm.
Yes, I got.
Yeah,
my
wife came off a horse.
Home. Yes.
My wife fell off a horse the other day, Monday or Tuesday. No, it was further than that. It was over the weekend. And all I hear is this, help, help. And I went, "Do you need help?" She goes, "Yes." And I went over there, and I couldn't find her. She's laying in the middle of the road. Had to pry her up and put her in the house. Gotta stop falling off the horses. Anyhow, it's not good at our age. We don't bounce as well.
I was gonna say, is your wife close to your age, sir?
She's 3 years younger than I am.
Okay, it's not really good to fall off a horse in your 50s. Okay. It really isn't.
No.
It's probably not good to fall off a horse anytime.
No, probably not.
She's been off of, well, let's quantify this, okay? We're a breeding farm here. We breed horses, train them, and sell them. So part of it is training young horses and everything else. And my wife's come off horses a lot of times, probably over 100 times.
I'm
got
sure
some screws and plates in her elbow and a couple other things. And, you know, you bounce. You just kind of have to. But Will's right. As we're getting older, we can't be doing this shit anymore because we don't heal as well.
No. Not
at all.
That's
just a fact.
I mean,
we started doing this 30 years ago. Back then, you know, when she was 27 years old, everything was wonderful. You could bounce all over the place and be fine. But now, not quite so much. Okay, can we talk some football?
Yes.
Please?
Okay.
Good.
Okay. I gotta go find the sparky things here that came in the fucking middle of the night. You think we solved that problem?
Yeah, I think so.
You would hope so.
Because the last couple of weeks, it's been coming in at 4 o'clock in the morning.
In the middle of the night.
Last night, it was 1 o'clock. I slept through that one.
Like, does he not sleep at night? Is that what it is? Does he spend too much time masturbating, or what is it? Whoops! Did I say that? Sorry. Anyways,
I have no comments. I'm not
touching
that one. Okay,
nope.
So week 17 is in the books. We had four. What?
No.
Can
go
I continue
on.
Or?
Yeah,
okay. Saskatchewan went into Winnipeg and got bounced. So this was an interesting game. Saskatchewan looked pretty pathetic, as par usual. I'm actually surprised they got the 13 points that they did. And what more can you say? I don't think Winnipeg played an amazing game, but they didn't have to. They didn't need to. It was... I don't know. I mean, I did post something on the Let's Talk Facebook chat about why Saskatchewan still has a coach, and I think it's because there's only 3 games left in the season, and they actually still have a potential, and it's a strong potential, for a playoff position. Although pathetic as it is, they may be crossing over to the Eastern Division. We're going to find out that a lot about that this weekend when Hamilton and Saskatchewan play. But back to this game, Winnipeg, they kind of just tromped on them. Charles, go ahead on this one.
Well, this one was about as bad as it gets, but, I mean, it wasn't all that surprising because, to be realistic, the Bombers have dominated the Riders right from the get-go this year. They've been pretty much dominant every game, and this was no different. And the Riders are just in an absolute free-fall right now. I went back last week, because I like to do this sometimes, just to look at like some of the preseason predictions that many people do. And there were people picking the Riders to win the West. As bizarre as that sounds, but it was there. Boy, I don't know what these people were saying. Then again, there was also people that said, oh, Edmonton might win the West, so take that for what it's worth. But, yeah, this is just a nightmare for the Saskatchewan and their fans. The year where they're hosting the Grey Cup, and, you know, they wanted to be there, but they are not looking like a Grey Cup team. They're not looking like a playoff team, and they may not be a playoff team when all is said and done. So they got to stop the bleeding pretty quickly because they're in some big issues right now. But it's just a really bad. They don't look good at all, to be perfectly honest. So, yeah. And the Bombers,
who's
when you get a team as good as the Bombers. I went back and I just Googled 2022 season preview. So I went through and looked at a bunch of different ones. That's where I found it. So, but
okay.
The predictions were ridiculous, some of them. But, hey, a lot of them said the Lions were going to win three or four games. So shows what they're worth at the beginning. These preseason predictions are worth. So.
Yeah, and mine weren't very good this year either. I kind of picked Calgary to be number one, number three, Winnipeg in two, Edmonton in four, and Riders in last. That was my pick on the Western Division, and I'm not really far off because BC and Calgary are pretty tight right now. Winnipeg is playing a lot better or winning a lot more than I thought they would. Even though I don't think they're as good a team as they were last year. So, see what happens. But, sorry, Charles, I interrupted you. What's going on with this game here?
The Bombers dominated, and they spanked them, and that was about it. They got their ass handed to them once again by the Bombers, and the Bombers swept them. It's been a while since they've done that, but they swept the entire season, so...
Yeah. Okay. Rudy, that was your team playing. Do you have anything interesting to add?
Yeah, I was. There was a few big plays, but for the most part, I thought it was pretty bland. But I don't know. My brother played football, and he thinks they're playing some pretty good football right now. But no, 7-0 against the Riders since the 2019 Western Final. So they swept the season series last year and played them last year in the Western Final and won that too. So no, I don't know. Right now, Winnipeg absolutely owns Saskatchewan. They still have to work out some things in their secondary, and they just acquired Alan Darby back from Hamilton today. I don't know. I didn't think the game was anything special. Saskatchewan's just not a good football team.
And again,
that's
worse.
All I got. I think
they're
really getting
are.
Worse.
They're,
absolutely.
They're
I think they're not. They're done playing for their coaches. There's going to be big changes there this offseason. It's people are disappointed. It's a Grey Cup year there. But I don't know. I didn't think they did enough in the off season anyway. You know, I thought maybe they'd be fighting for third at best. But yeah, I think they'll get in a crossover, but I don't think they're going anywhere. Cody Fajardo was complaining again this week about the pressures of playing there. So if you can't handle the pressure, then why are you playing?
He's such a little wiener. William!
You know, in the week of the Grey Cup in 2019, I stood in the Saskatchewan room and listened to Cody Fajardo up on the stage, and he said to people, "You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait what's coming. Bigger things are coming." Well, guess what? They need a quarterback if they want big things to happen, and it ain't Cody Fajardo. He's not very good. I'm sorry. You know what? You can say whatever you want about their offensive line, and their offensive line has been injured, but his first thought on every play is to run the fucking football. Okay? He's not a drop-back passer. Never will be a drop-back passer. He thinks he's got athletic skills and he can run the ball, and that is the biggest problem right there. They've got some pretty good receivers on that team, but they need a quarterback. It's that simple. And I got a feeling Cody Fajardo is going to be looking for a job in the offseason because his contract is up. And I don't know if I would – I guess some teams will sign him because a lot of teams don't have quarterbacks, but I don't know, man. I wouldn't put my vote on that guy.
Well, the other thing about him,
looks like a deer.
You know what? The other thing about him is even when he interviews, I just don't like the guy. He's not a likable guy. Just saying. He doesn't have that.
He doesn't have that
it factor for some reason. That's all.
Okay.
I think he's a bit of a move.
I got a question for you, Will.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for you here, Will.
Yes,
sir. You say Cody Fajardo will not be in Regina next year, okay? And I'm not going to argue
correct.
With you, and that's not a disputable topic right now. But you said some teams out there might sign him that will be looking for a quarterback. What team out there right now has a quarterback that's worse than Cody Fajardo?
Ottawa.
Arguably Hamilton.
Ottawa, Jeremiah Mazzoli might be back.
Yeah, Jeremiah Mazzoli sucks as a quarterback.
If Dane Evans, Cody Fajardo,
and now he gets hurt. Dane Evans. Every day and Sunday. McLeod Bethel.
We've seen
Thomas,
good things
every
from
day,
Dane Evans.
Every day, including Sunday. Huh?
Right? Even Taylor Cornelius is playing better than Cody Fajardo.
Taylor Cornelius is going to be a fantastic quarterback in the CFL. You wait and see.
He's growing. He really is.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The guy can run that ball and he can chuck that ball.
Yeah. So where's Cody going to get a job?
Well, I mean, a lot of teams would sign him as a backup tomorrow, I guarantee you. Okay?
I don't doubt that.
He could go to Ottawa, Montreal, backup. There's all kinds of places he could go. I just don't think...
Oh, yeah. I mean, he could go as a backup, but there's nobody out there looking for a starter from him.
I just don't think... Well, there's only one team that's looking for a starter, and that's the team that he's on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so
he could be back
because if they can't find anybody else. Who's going to be the quarterback in Saskatchewan next year?
To be determined. Well, no, you know what? I can see Saskatchewan maybe pulling. Who's that Canadian kid in Edmonton?
Trey Ford.
I can see him going to Saskatchewan. Because obviously since they gave Cornelius money, they're kind of forced to make him the starter. And I think he's their quarterback. And I think Trey Ford might have been their quarterback, but he got hurt. So
he's so young, though, Will. You've got to see more of him.
What was that?
What do you think is going to happen with Vernon Adams next year?
Well, it just depends, doesn't it?
Yeah, Nathan Rourke comes back. He's healthy. He's the starting quarterback. He's going to play football. There isn't another quarterback in the league I'd rather have behind center. What's going to happen with Vernon Adams?
Yeah, but here you go. I mean, their plan was... What's the dude's name, the other Canadian on BC? Their plan, Michael O'Connor. That was their plan for him to be, him to replace what's his name. Well, that didn't work out. That's why they got Vernon Adams. So,
well, only because Michael O'Connor got injured, and he's gone for the season.
Right, I understand that, but he's still not going to be the guy to take anybody's place. Okay, sorry. I don't know. Do they... You know what? They're going to probably give Nathan Rourke a raise this year, okay, you would think. Okay.
I hope so.
What would be wrong with paying Vernon Adams some extra bucks so he could be the backup? Because he's a very competent backup, right?
They might ultimately do that.
Would he?
No, that's the thing. I'm not sure he wants to be. I'm sure the Lions would love to have Vernon Adams as a backup. I don't know.
You didn't hear him complaining when he was in Montreal, okay? You didn't hear anything out of him.
That doesn't mean he was happy.
Well, no, that's true, but, you know, what's his other choice? Who else would he go to? Who else needs a quarterback? Like you said, Saskatchewan? Hey,
Saskatchewan.
There you go.
$400,000 to go play for the Riders.
There you go. That could happen.
That's kind of what my money is.
What if Bo ends up in
Saskatchewan?
He's
not going anywhere.
I'll be quiet. Rudy.
Not a hope.
Jesus.
Mitchell's not leaving
Doc
Calgary.
Bo would never go to – he's not leaving Calgary. He's going to be a player. He's going to be a coach next year. I guarantee it.
I could see that.
Rudy, do you listen to this podcast?
Bill,
here,
I'm
gonna
on
try
it.
This. I'm going to try this one more time. Bo Levi Mitchell is injured. He will never be a quarterback in the CFL again. Mark my words.
A number one quarterback.
No, a quarterback. Period.
Well,
not
depends.
Even a backup.
If Mayer goes down with an injury, are they not going to play him?
You might be surprised at who they'll play. You might be surprised at who
they
do
have
play.
Grass on the sidelines.
Yes, they do.
But is that just for show?
Does Calgary dress three quarterbacks?
Yes, they do.
Who's the third string, Will?
So their third string is a short yardage guy?
Yes, sir.
Who is he?
Tommy something or other. I don't pay attention to the third string quarterback because even though they score lots of touchdowns because who's the guy for what's his name is the third string quarterback for and he's got all kinds of touchdowns. He was the quarterback in Ottawa last year.
Dominic Davis.
Dominic Davis. He's in Montreal, isn't he? Yeah, he's in Montreal.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there's a role for a short yardage quarterback. I mean, come in and do it. So.
Sure there is. There is, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, your third stringer is never expected to be your starter.
Nope.
Right? That's what your number two position is. Third stringers just go in there, get that short yard, beat up your body, and get us some points.
Great.
Okay, so we're finished up on this game here. Saskatchewan got pounced on 31-13. It was 44 points. Charles, you took Winnipeg. You got a diff of 36. Will, you took Winnipeg. You got 40 points. CJ took Winnipeg, got 38 points. Rudy picked Winnipeg and got 50 points. You nailed it, buddy. 44, bang on. I was out by 2. Will was out by 1. Charles was out by 3. That's when you guys all piggybacked on my score. Okay. So the next game was the Ottawa Red Blacks came out to BC to play the Lions. And needless to say, this game didn't go the way that Paul LaPolice wanted it to go because he ended up getting fired.
I was going to say, and then some.
Got off the plane.
And then... Yeah, did he get off the plane before he got fired or no? I don't know. It was not a good thing.
I think he went into work in the morning and they fired him.
Well, at least they didn't like approach him in Vancouver and say you're fired, find your own way home.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, Ottawa obviously is not going into the postseason, so firing the coach with 3 games left in the season means nothing. Why not make the change? I'm not totally sure he was the problem, but I'm sure I know he wasn't the solution. There's worse coaches in the CFL right now. Shit, Ryan Dinwiddie's worse than Paul LaPolice, and he's winning. The only reason he hasn't been fired. Okay. William, go ahead on this one. Ottawa into BC.
Oh, my God. You know what? I still see effort in Ottawa. Okay, but they're just not good enough. And I guess when it comes right down to it, it must be the coaching. Okay, I don't know. He just doesn't seem to be a good head coach, and so. You know, they got outscored 14-3 in the first quarter, 10-3 in the second quarter, and they tied the rest of the game, give or take. So, yeah, I do feel bad for Paul LaPolice. I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a good head coach. Make him an OC, and you know what happens, right? So, They always talk about promoting guys out of their positions, right? I think that's part of it with him, to be honest with you. So,
okay. So let's think about this one for a second.
Yeah.
Mike Benavides took over a 13-5 BC Lions team, and in 3 years ran him into the ground at 500 football. Craig Dickinson takes over a 13-5 Saskatchewan Rough Riders team, and it now won't make 500 football. Okay?
Yeah.
These two guys picked up outstanding, well-built teams and couldn't coach them. They're not head coach material. Paul LaPolice has been brought into a dumpster fire twice. Hasn't been successful or hasn't shown the results that people want as quickly as they want, and he's been fired. And it's blamed on him not being a coach. Well, can we not say that the teams are fucking shit? Because Winnipeg was a disaster when he was head coach. Ottawa was worse. You can't.
Yeah.
I understand you got to blame somebody, but I don't know whether or not you can say this guy's not a good coach. If he took over an outstanding team like Dickinson or Benavides did and ran him into the ground, I'd agree with you 100%. But just because he hasn't been able to resurrect a fucking tire fire, he's not a good coach? I don't know.
But here's the thing. He coached last year, and they were lousy. They went out, got a whole bunch of new different players, and they didn't really improve. There's where your problem comes in. You got to show some improvement, but in their record, we can sit here and say all day that they look better and they have try in it. Fact of the matter is, the lineup, the record's not getting any better. It's gotten worse. You're still losing. That's the problem.
Just because you don't get a whole pile of talented players doesn't mean you've created a team.
No, but I personally think it's the coach's job to make the team gel if they can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and
agreed.
I mean, if you got guys that are, you know, all good players, you can head them, point them in the right direction, and he just doesn't seem to be able to do that. And I mean, it doesn't. Okay, once again, quarterback-driven league. It doesn't help that they didn't have a quarterback. I mean. Jeremiah Mazzoli got hurt early. Then they had Caleb What's-His-Face. And then they finished with Arbuckle. So, you know. What the hell?
Hard to fault him on that.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm not going to say he's a rookie coach, but he's not a well-experienced coach. He doesn't have a huge track record behind him, right? And now you've expected him to come out and perform like a high-end coach. Now, if you had stolen somebody like Chris Jones or Wally Buono or even Dave Dickinson, if you'd stolen one of these guys and brought them into Ottawa with this talented package that you say that he has, they might have been able to make that gel. But I don't know if he had the experience to do that.
Well, but you see, here's my question. And I don't know. I still think you have to give guys a chance, okay? And I still don't think 2 years is a chance, to be honest with you, because you look at, if you become a head coach, what the hell is that noise?
I don't know either.
Who's chomping on paper? Fuck.
Nobody. Not me.
Not anymore. Anyways, you got to give the guy a chance. You got to give the guy a chance, okay? And 2 years, in my mind, is not a chance. Look at how many years they gave.
Mike O'Shea.
God, well, Mike O'Shea, okay? First 3 years, 4 years, wasn't he shit? Okay?
Yes.
And the thing is, when you become a head coach of a football team, there's a pretty good chance that the year before that team sucked, okay? Or there wouldn't be a job opening. And
yeah.
I still believe they should have given him at least another year, to be honest with you.
I don't argue with you.
And I'm going by the Mike O'Shea.
But I will.
But
I'll tell you what I don't like about it. I don't like that he was the coordinator. I think they should have taken the offensive coordinator's position away from him.
How
do you expect a young coach?
You say those things all the time, but still guys in the league still do it. So, you know.
And I'm not wrong.
They would probably say you are wrong.
Well, he's fired because of it.
Yeah, he is.
So maybe I'm right.
Maybe.
Maybe if he had hired an offensive coordinator, he'd still have a job.
Yeah, it's possible.
Charles, talk about the BC Ottawa game. Did you do that already?
I have not, no. So I can do that now.
Go ahead.
This game was pretty much over by halftime. I know that it wasn't a super huge lead, but the Lions got up 21-3, and you know at that point that Ottawa was not making any sort of major comeback. They're just not that talented a team, and they're a team that doesn't play with a lot of confidence. Vernon Adams bounced back nicely. He was much better than he was the week before against Calgary. I mean, you do have to take into account the opposition because, quite frankly, Ottawa's not in Calgary's league, obviously. So you do have to take that into account.
They
but,
are.
Hey, at least he did. He didn't. What?
They are in the same league. It's called the CFL.
Keep on going, yes.
Yeah, moving on.
Please do.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, not even.
But, yeah, the Lions did play very well, although it looked like they might have been down another receiver because looks like Lucky Whitehead's injured now. He went out of the game with an injury. Then he ended up coming back in for a few more plays, and then he hobbled off again. Now it looks like he's got an ankle injury because at practice today he was standing on the sidelines in a walking boot. So looks like we're going to be without him for a while, which kind of sucks. Especially now that also Brian Burnham is out. So we're fortunate, though, that that receiver is one of our deepest positions. So we've still got some very good receivers to rely on there. But losing a guy like him just doesn't help. Eventually that's going to be a bit of an issue. You want Vernon Adams to have as many weapons as they can. So hopefully he's not out too long. And Ottawa's just Ottawa. They're just not getting over the top. Will said, you see the effort with Ottawa, but I'm not sure the talent's there. I mean, they've got some good players. They brought some good players in, but it's just they're not gelling. They're just not. So not exactly a it's about what I expected the result to be. I figured the Lions would win it fairly fairly convincingly, and they did. So good for them, and Ottawa's got a new coach. So
hey, who's that new kid that was playing receiver? I saw some story on him, and I didn't really catch it too much. Do you know who I'm talking about there, Charles?
New kid playing receiver.
Canson?
Hold on. Let me see if I can... You're talking about for the Lions, I take it, right?
For the Lions, of course. Yeah. Because he came in and filled in for Brian Burnham.
He did, yeah.
He didn't play his position, but he came in. Scarfone.
Jacob Scarfone. He's actually a Canadian receiver from Guelph. He's with the team. I think this is actually his second year with the Lions. He was with Ottawa back in 2018 and 2019. Didn't play very much. He did play last year and had 16 catches for 85 yards. He's actually a pretty good possession receiver. He seems to be a pretty good possession receiver. I like him from what I've seen. It's been very limited, but I'd like to see more of him because he looks like he has some talent.
So he played in Guelph. There was a story
about
somebody else that he played. Oh, it wasn't Phil Potts. Was it? They were talking about Phil Potts, and then Scarfone comes in and does this, or no? Was it somebody else they were talking about? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Anyhow. I didn't see the story.
Yeah, I'll have to hunt that one down. Anyhow, Rudy, you haven't dealt with this one. Come back and play with this one and figure out what we're going to do. BC Ottawa.
I was driving home listening to the Bombers post game and the Rider radio round table and all the fans ripping into them and... So yeah, that was interesting, but no, I didn't end up seeing that game. It looked like BC kind of, you know, I don't know, got their shit together, and I heard Adams played all right, and Ottawa didn't look like they were good in the highlights at all, and Lapo obviously lost his job. I'm with Will. I think you got to give him another year. I know it didn't look like they were improving, but they've constantly been changing personnel here. Right now I don't know where they go. Personally, I think they're going to bring Mazzoli back next year, at least try to. Their owner was basically saying, I know it's not an excuse, but it was tough when they lost there. He called him their franchise quarterback, so... Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do for a head coach in the future, but they got to win home game. Edmonton and Ottawa both don't have home wins, and Edmonton actually just also broke a record for the most consecutive home losses. And,
not a record you want to break.
No, so I don't think... Yeah, if you're betting at Edmonton at home, isn't a good play.
What's that?
Sorry, CJ.
I saw something about somebody had posted that was the largest home losing record in all pro sports. I don't
in
know
North
if that's
America.
True or not. I think some baseball teams have probably been worse.
I'm thinking the Cleveland Browns might be worse.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, you got to admit though, has been a little over 2 years.
Yeah, the Elks haven't won a home game since I believe 2019.
Yep.
And earlier,
October 2019.
Early 2019.
So it's two full seasons.
Yeah, because you don't count 2020 because there was no season, but 2021 and 2022.
Correct.
Yeah.
No.
So it's
you're
almost 2 years.
You're not putting money on the Elks at home. But anyway, I'm going
to
be watching them at home.
You have to.
Yeah. I'm going to be watching them at home.
It's not against Winnipeg.
Next week. Against the Argonauts. Yeah. And I'll be in Calgary Friday night, actually attending the Hamilton game with Will.
Okay. So where are we? The Elk, Saskatchewan's at 6-9. Elks are at 4-11. That's not looking good for that. But Hamilton's at 10-4. They have a chance. They have a chance of taking the Riders out.
Because they're playing each other this weekend.
Is there even any way possibly that Edmonton can catch the Riders for a crossover? Like, mathematically, there still is, right?
I think
that probably
it is
they
possible.
They have to beat Winnipeg this. They have to beat Winnipeg this weekend.
Yeah, well,
they're playing Winnipeg and BC, and I don't know. I don't think they play Calgary again, but they have a tough schedule for the rest of the season. So, although it's mathematically possible, it's highly unlikely.
Edmonton would have to win out. Saskatchewan would have to lose out.
Great. And Winnipeg clinched a home playoff game. Clinched a home playoff game with the win against Saskatchewan last weekend. And if they beat Edmonton this weekend, I believe they clinched the Western.
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah.
A Winnipeg win or a BC loss.
That's right.
Great. Yes. But if they both win, would it come down to the back-to-back with you guys?
No.
No.
If Winnipeg wins this weekend, they've won the West.
Great. Correct. Yeah.
No, I don't think that's true because that puts them to 28 points. BC were to win, it'd be 22. So they would be six points back.
6 points different. Winnipeg has a season series.
You guys still have it?
No, not yet, because they've only played once. They got two more games. If BC were to beat them both times, they wouldn't.
Right. Technically. I'm not putting any money on that one, Charles.
I'm not either, but I'm just saying technically, mathematically, based on the numbers, it is possible. Highly unlikely, I agree, but possible.
I think that the number right now is if Winnipeg wins this game this weekend, it says any combination of BC, one Winnipeg win or one BC loss, Winnipeg clinches the division title.
Yeah,
that's what's been posted. So I have to believe that because it would have to be come down to a real stretch for BC.
Yeah,
to pull
it's not
going to
happen.
But the higher possibility right now is a 4-10 Hamilton Tiger Cats team to catch the 6-9 Saskatchewan Rough Riders. If Hamilton beats Saskatchewan this weekend, okay, they would both have 10 losses, and Hamilton would have 5 wins, Saskatchewan would have 6 wins, but Hamilton would have a game in hand. Now, Saskatchewan for the crossover has to beat Hamilton straight up. It can't be tied and go to a season series. For a crossover, you have to have greater number of wins. So Hamilton would then have 3 games left. Saskatchewan would have 2. And Saskatchewan would have to win more games than Hamilton did. Okay, so Hamilton's got a better chance
lesson.
Of taking the Riders out. Yes, it is. Okay, let's go back to the game. Where are we here? So BC, Ottawa 19, BC 34. Total point score was 53. Charles, you were at 55. You got 38 points on that one with the win. Everybody took BC, so there was nothing wrong there. Will, you were picked 42 points. You got 20 points on your diff. CJ with 60 was out by 7, 28 points. And Rudy, you're way down there. You got 12. Okay, the third game was the Montreal Alouettes into Edmonton to play the Elks. This was one of Edmonton's best chances, best opportunities to break this home losing streak, and they pounded the pooch on this one. think they really played that bad a game. They just didn't play good enough. And Montreal did. And it was a low-scoring game. I don't think it was you would call this a defensive struggle. It was just two and inept teams playing. I wasn't overly impressed with this game. Rudy, start it off. Did you watch this game?
Yeah, I don't know. I did. I didn't think it was a bad game. I think Trevor Harris is starting to look pretty good with Montreal, and I hate to say it, they're not playing bad football though now. As far as the Edmonton game goes, I think it was decent, you know. I actually like Montreal right now, coming out of the East.
Interesting. Did you see the CFL post that says that are the Montreal Alouettes the hottest team in the CFL right now?
I don't think they're the hottest.
I thought that was kind of
funny. I don't think
I thought
it
was kind of
funny. CFL. They're playing good football right now, and you know what? They're getting snapback.
Yeah, that's a big
loss
for them.
Yeah, Standback is coming back.
Yep.
So,
provided he can come off that, he had a knee injury. Provided he's able to come off that knee injury, okay.
Broke his ankle.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, it was an ankle. Sorry, you're right. Not a knee injury. Okay, he's got to come off of that, all right then.
Now, I don't think Trevor Harris by any means is the best quarterback, but if he could make throws in seconds, just a split second quicker, he'd be looking pretty good out there. But he can't. And they're getting Sam back, and I think they're gonna. I think they're looking pretty good coming out of the East, honestly, this year. Also,
William?
If you haven't seen, I'm making tweets on Twitter again. So Stern's back on Twitter, and I don't know what's going to happen with ownership there, but he's back on Twitter.
What's he saying?
Oh, he's interacting with fans and everything and just acting like how he was before, Will, or CJ.
Yeah, I've seen that before that he was on.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
So... I don't know what's going on, but
that's a very cool thing. I'm going to go run in and get some water. William, you're up next. Then Charles, you guys talk Edmonton-Winnipeg game.
You know what? I personally think that Edmonton-Winnipeg game was, or Edmonton game was the best game of the week, to be honest with you. It was a close game. If it wasn't for that interception, I think Edmonton would have won. I don't know if Edmonton can sign some of the guys that they have. I think Edmonton's going to be a scary team next year. I think they're going to be quite good. You can already see them getting better and better all the time, which is what Chris Jones is known for. He will bring players in and bring players in and bring players in till he finds an athlete to play every position, and that's what he'll do. And so far, I think he's improved this year, and I think he'll be better next year. And they'll be much more consistent. I would be scared of Edmonton next year. And if they, by some way, actually do the crossover, I might be scared of them in the playoffs even. So... just my opinion. Go ahead, Charles.
I kind of agree that I think Edmonton is going to be a much better team next year. I honestly thought Edmonton probably should have won this game. They were leading into the fourth quarter just by a point, but they had the lead, and then that Cornelius threw that horrible interception that got taken back. I think it was 99 yards for a touchdown, and that was the nail in the coffin. I mean, Edmonton was shut Montreal down really well. In fact, those were the only points that Montreal had in the second half with those 8 points there. You can see where the Edmonton defense is actually getting stronger. They're really starting to play well. The offense is coming around, but still too many mistakes, as evidenced by that Taylor Cornelius interception, mind you. But, hey, I mean, Montreal, yeah, they got away with one in this one. I thought Edmonton, for the most part in this game, was the better team. But that one interception just kind of put the nail in Montreal. So it is what it is. When you're having a bad season, you can have these good games, and then one play just kind of ruins it for you. And we've seen that before with other teams, and we saw it with Edmonton in this one.
We did.
Yep.
I do agree with you, Charles, that I think Edmonton outplayed them the entire game, to be honest with you.
Well, I thought that the whole time.
Yeah. And I was thinking I'd look like the hero because I picked Edmonton, and then before you know it, he threw that pass and they went all that way for a touchdown.
Yep.
That's probably one of the weirdest interceptions for a touchdown I've ever seen.
It was.
So,
it wasn't like your typical pick six either, where the quarterback's trying to throw an out pattern and the defensive back just jumps it. It was completely different from that.
Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. So, we're just too bad, but it happens. Hello, honey. We're stretching here. Go ahead. Your take on this game. Or did you watch the game?
I did my take on this game. I thought it was kind of inept.
Okay.
I didn't really think it was that great of a football game.
And me and Charles disagree. We both thought it was a good game. And the comments we made were, Edmonton is getting better. And
they are.
If they sign some of the players they have, they're going to be scary next year. And if by some strange stretch they get into the crossover this year, they could be a team that could be upset some people. Because they're starting to gel. They're starting to gel, finally.
And there's so many people out there that are calling for Chris Jones's head, and I'm going, you guys have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, no,
this guy is
going to
turn Edmonton into a powerhouse.
Yeah, but don't worry. If they do well sometime in the near future, Chris Jones will go somewhere else. So he always does.
He doesn't get fired. He leaves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anyways.
But Edmonton will be a better team because he was there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. For no other reason.
Nope.
And I don't know if he's going to run away again.
Oh, yes, he will. Trust me.
I'm not saying he wouldn't. I'm just saying that I don't know if that opportunity is going to come up for him again.
Mm-hmm. We'll
okay.
See. Well, no.
So this was Montreal 25, Edmonton 18. Final total score was 43. Charles, you took Montreal. Will, you took Edmonton. CJ took Edmonton. Rudy took Montreal. This was not a good game. Charles, you got an extra 34 points on your 100. Will, you got 50. You nailed the score but failed on the team. CJ, 42, got 40 points. And Rudy got 140 as well. This was not over that good. Okay, the final game of the week. There are no real words for how bad Toronto played. All along, we've been saying that how is Ryan Dinwiddie still got a job? I mean, it's basically because he was winning. This was terrible. Absolutely terrible. What did they get, two rouges in the whole game?
Yep.
I mean, you might as well have got shut out.
Well, for all intents and purposes,
William,
they did get shut out. So, you know what?
They did. William, talk about your Calgary team.
Well, you know what? There's a huge rivalry here, okay? Because there's so many people on each of these teams that know each other because they played for Calgary, and the coaches know Calgary because they coach for Calgary, and they're very familiar with each other. And I don't think you can run your normal offense and your normal defense because everybody knows what you're doing. I don't know. I mean, you got to give credit to Calgary's defense because they obviously played well. Okay. Calgary's offense was okay. They were fantastic. They did just enough. So, yeah, I mean, was it a great performance by Calgary? Not really. Their defense was great. But it doesn't matter. Toronto still is not very good. And they came to Calgary and they showed that they weren't very good. So, I mean, it is the only team this year other than BC that Calgary's beat with a winning record. So I guess that's kind of a feather in their cap. But, yeah, other than that, it was all right.
I came up with a theory today, and you know, it's not something new, but I was talking with somebody about it, and we were talking about Calgary coaches. And
yep.
has any of the coaches that have left Calgary – been successful?
Not
yeah.
really.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Who?
Wally Buono.
Who?
Wally Buono. There you go.
No.
He was successful.
I think
it was
more talking
John
about recent Hossnagle memory.
Took over.
What
we
was
are.
That?
We are, very much.
What
Since
Hossnagle
took over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My,
but
my,
Buono,
my question
left.
Is.
Yes. I'm listening. I'll be quiet.
Okay.
What's your question?
Now my question comes back to, it's always you say this all about the players, and you always say, is it the player's talent or is it the system?
Right.
And I think that applies to coaches as well.
Absolutely.
Are these overly talented
certainly
coaches?
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Or are they just playing in an amazing system?
Well, I think what happens is they try, when they leave, they try and take that system with them. And they try and duplicate that system. But it's not that easy to duplicate, okay? It seems that...
Yeah, I don't know that's what Claybanks did.
Say that again?
I don't know what the fuck you... I said, I don't know what Claybanks
well,
did, but I sure the fuck
yeah, but
there,
there's another perfect example of a guy who will never be a head coach, okay? In my
Who's
mind.
That?
He'll be never be a head coach, in my mind.
Devon Claybanks.
Devon Claybanks.
Oh, yeah.
He'll
he tried that. It
coach.
Didn't go well.
And to top it all
no.
off, if you think about if you go back to that those BC Lions, to that BC Lions team, I mean, Claybrooks, and who did he bring in for coaches?
A lot of unexperienced
Nick
guys.
Nick Lewis.
Nick Lewis.
A lot of inexperienced guys. And when you're an inexperienced head coach, you have to bring in guys that have experience. And it seems that he brought in all his buddies. And he thought that would
yeah.
work. And I'm thinking to myself, like, the guy's an idiot. Okay? So
yeah.
Claybrooks didn't do well. Ryan Dinwiddie, he's been in Toronto for 2 years, so the jury is still out on him. If he wins the Grey Cup, I guess you can say he's successful. But, yeah, I mean, the people who kind of emulate it Calgary's system has been Winnipeg, and they've done quite well at it lately, okay? But there's no coaches there from Calgary, so...
Well, it was just that somebody had said that the next head coach in the CFL is going to be Killen. And
yeah,
you're
always saying that.
And I'm going, he really doesn't have any desire to go anywhere to be a head coach. But he hasn't shown one. And my question is, and again, a special teams coordinator as opposed to an offensive coordinator, but is he being successful because of the system that he's in, or can he step out and actually perform? And I don't know, because the two options were Buck Pierce and Mark Killen. And I don't think Buck Pierce is going anywhere. I think he's waiting for Mike O'Shea to retire.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We had this conversation the other day. You know what? It's interesting because there are some guys, believe it or not, that don't want to get any higher. They just want to enjoy their life and their experience and their winning ways. Mark Killen is a perfect example. And maybe
exactly.
Buck Pierce. I mean, you think about it. Why would you want to leave a team where you're, and I mean, don't understand something. Mark Killen is now a co-head coach in Calgary, okay? I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a title that you get more money or something? I don't know. But like, there's something to be said about not having the pressure of a head coach, especially on a team that you're going to go to,
for sure.
That you know the team.
No, I agree.
You know that the team is going to, you know, the team is going to suck. Okay, so yeah, some guys want to just stay there, absolutely. And they don't have egos, and they just stick around. And I mean, it's funny because you watch Mark Killen on the sidelines, and even to this day, and he's been doing this forever, is totally excited about whatever the special teams do well. So the guy has a passion for that. Yeah, the guy has a passion for that. There's no doubt about it. So...
I mean, very rare does a player or does a coach, a coordinator, or anybody get a promotion to a really good quality team.
No.
You're usually going
never.
Into a tire fire.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Well, it does.
Absolutely.
Wally Buono retired. Chris Jones ran away. Right? And those are the two examples that I use all the time, which is Benavides and Dickinson, where they took over powerful teams. That doesn't happen.
No.
Usually you're taking over a head coach position because his ass ran out of town.
Yeah.
And you're starting off in a no-win position. So, yeah, it's a tough one. It is very tough. So,
absolutely.
Anyhow, who else needs to go on Toronto-Calgary? Charles, you do? You do.
Rudy.
That was just Will.
I had to laugh because I remember that we even discussed that thing that that came out on CFL.ca a while back saying that the Toronto Argos had the best odds of winning the Grey Cup. That just makes me laugh. And I laugh even more because of this nonsense, because that was a disturbingly bad performance. I was thinking this was going to be a good game. Hey, you got Calgary, you got Toronto that's in first place. I thought this was going to be this was a disaster. And Calgary didn't play that great, but God, when you're playing a team that's only able to score 2 points, how do you score 2 points in the Canadian Football League? I mean, a league known for offense, and they can only muster 2 points. It's embarrassing. And Mark says, Rudy says he thinks that Montreal is... favorite to come out of the East. Well, after seeing that performance, how can you really argue with that? It was horrifically bad. So, yeah, this was a bad performance right from the get-go, and Calgary, I'm not all that impressed with them because, like I said, I mean, I look at Toronto, the way Toronto played, it looked like a high school team could have beaten them last week. It was a bad disaster. This is not a memorable game at all, so I'm just hoping they repeat the performance this week.
Yeah, exactly. That would be nice. I think that's why the new predictions came out have now Calgary winning their favorite to win the Grey Cup because they beat the last favorite team to win the Grey Cup.
By the way, Winnipeg fans are pissed at that, just so you know, but that made it even more funny.
I know, and I'm having fun with that because these predictions are about as important as power rankings and about as useful.
How could you guys suggest that any team other than Winnipeg is going to win the Grey Cup this year? Come on. They're starting to sound more and more like Saskatchewan. They're starting to sound more and more like Saskatchewan fans all the time, okay? It's pathetic.
No. We're just repeating what CFL.ca has said. We never said we believe this shit.
Yes, Christopher. I know that, Christopher. I'm talking to the masses here.
Yeah. No, it's actually pathetic to listen. To think that somebody out there actually gets paid to do this and to post it. I mean, the social media person at CFL.ca must actually be laughing his ass off when he does this if he actually knows what he's doing. They might not know anything about football. They're just social media guys. I don't know. Girls, women, whatever. I don't know who it is, but it's just ridiculous some of the shit that they put out. Rudy, talk about Calgary whomping Toronto.
Yeah, I was at a bit of a family supper, so I didn't catch the whole game, but
you didn't
miss much. I thought it was going to be the game of the week, but Hamilton kind of came out and laid an egg, and there wasn't I heard it was a pretty boring game, to be honest with you, so.
In my honest opinion, Ottawa played better than Toronto did.
Really?
I agree.
And Mike O'Shea
BC-Ottawa game was better than the Calgary-Toronto game, that was for sure.
At least Ottawa scored a couple touchdowns as opposed to a couple rouges.
Yeah. Okay, so Calgary won this one 29-2. 31 points. I was really disappointed in the 31 points. Charles and Will took Calgary. They got 100 points each for this. CJ and Rudy were off base with Toronto just a little bit. Charles, you picked up an extra 30. Will, 18. CJ picked up 20. And Rudy, you picked up an extra 2. You actually picked 51 points on this game. You thought it was going to be high scoring. So, sad as it is, and I like to point this out, Will, you went 4-for-4 again this week.
No, I didn't.
According to the – hang on.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. You didn't pick the Montreal-Edmonton game. It was Charles that went 4-for-4.
Charles went 4-for-4.
Charles went 4-for-4.
Yep.
Yes, sir. He did. He gets a big shiny star.
Will picked 3. Rudy picked 3. And CJ got 2. So, 538 points for the week, Charles. That's like a fucking
record.
That's
a big week.
Yes,
that was a big, big week.
Yeah, CJ had a 502, but that was it. That was the only two games this 2 weeks this year over 500. Very good game. Very good week, Charles. I mean, Will, your 428 was a great week.
Yeah.
So here's the standings. Will had 428. Charles with 538. CJ with 326, which actually was a respectable score, was definitely the bottom. And Rudy took 404. Will's increasing his lead at 5598. Charles is at 5380, back 218 points. CJ is dropping like a rock, 5100. And Rudy's like almost catching up to CJ here for third place. Am I heading to the base? I feel like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders right now. I'm dropping like a rock. Okay. Did I say what Rudy's score was? Rudy's got 4,974. Okay. So that's that. We've gone through, like, we're almost finished the show, and we barely finished talking about last week, not anything to do with this week. How is that happening? Where's my list? There it is. Okay. So I'm going to do some points here. We're going to do the games real quick, and then we'll start talking some football. Saskatchewan-Hamilton. Let's go here. What do we got here? Hamilton is minus 1.5. The over-under is 49. The pick'em has Saskatchewan at 59, Hamilton at 41. Charles, what are you doing? Hamilton is at home.
Hamilton is at home. You know what? I can't pick Saskatchewan right now. They're in a free fall, and Hamilton, you know, they still got a shot to reel in Hamilton, reel in Saskatchewan, and prevent them from getting the crossover. And this is a big part of it. So yeah, I think I'm going to pick the Hamilton Aggregates on this one. I have to, because I think that they've got they're streaking right now, so yeah, that's what I'm going to pick, and I think it'll be 44 points.
Okay, William, what are you going to do here? Hamilton, Saskatchewan, in Hamilton.
I'll never pick Saskatchewan. You know I'll never pick Saskatchewan.
Yep.
Hamilton, 50.
Hamilton, 50. Okay. Rudy, what are you going to pick here? You'd be odd man out, or are you taking Hamilton?
No, I am going to go with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. And I got Saskatchewan 43.
43. Okay, CJ, so here's my reverse psychology. Every time I pick Saskatchewan this year, they've lost. So I'm picking Saskatchewan at 60 points. It's going to be a gun fest. Big shootout. Oh, okay, now, after this dismal Toronto performance in Calgary, BC's heading over to BMO Field to play the Argonauts. Charles. Oh, hang on. Let me do this pick'em thing here first. BC is a one-point favorite. The over-under is 49. Pick'em Trends has Toronto at 60%, BC at 40. Charles?
Even if they weren't playing my team, there's no chance I would pick Toronto after that debacle last week. That was embarrassing. And I'm not sure if they're going to be much better. I mean, I know they're at home, but how much home field advantage do you get in the 70% empty stadium or whatever? So I'm picking the Lions, no surprise, but I would be picking whoever is playing Toronto this week. BC, 49 points.
49. Okay. Willem, what are you doing here?
I am going to go Toronto 38.
Rudy.
Toronto, 47.
And CJ will take BC on this one, and I'm going with 42. Okay, Edmonton in to IGF Stadium to play the Bombers. What do we got here? We got Winnipeg by 14, over under at 50. The pick'em has Winnipeg at 95%. Go ahead, Charles.
Could this be a trap game for the Bombers? We saw them lose earlier this year at home to Montreal. We saw them lose earlier this year at home to who else beat them? Oh, no,
Hamilton.
They were on the road. Sorry, they lost to Hamilton, but that was on the road. But, no, this isn't going to be a trap. I think Winnipeg's going to be won this game. I think that Edmonton's pretty close to done for this year. I think Winnipeg wins this one 51 points. Hello.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Did he drop out?
I think he did.
I don't know. He was here, but
he's probably still,
now nothing.
He's probably still talking. He's probably still
yeah, maybe.
Talking. You know how he likes to run on.
Yep.
Hey, Rudy, are you there, Rudy?
Yeah.
Okay. CJ's gone.
Yeah, he seems to always be having issues.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll... Oh, here he comes.
There he
coming
goes.
Back.
There he goes.
I got toasted. I don't know what happened. Charles, I did
Fat
not
fingers.
Get your score, your pick.
Sorry.
Oh,
I picked... I picked Saskatchewan, or excuse me, no, I didn't.
They're
not even
Winnipeg,
playing in this
51.
Game. Winnipeg 51.
Winnipeg.
Okay. William, what are you doing there?
Edmonton 42.
You took my score.
Yep.
Rudy.
Winnipeg, 48.
Well, I'm going to take Winnipeg, and I'm going still going with 42, so fuck you. So be it. Ottawa, Montreal, and we have, what happened here? Let's go over this. Winnipeg, or sorry, Montreal is favored at 7 points, over under is 49. Why don't they the over-unders are ridiculous. Montreal, 94% favorite here on the pick'em. Charles.
Yeah, as much as I couldn't pick Toronto and stuff like that, I'm sorry I can't pick Ottawa right now. Well, you know, you never know. Sometimes teams get inspired with a coaching change. I just don't see it happening. Montreal, 44 points.
44? I think the stat is actually like 68% of the time that a coach is fired, the team wins the next game.
Yep.
Doesn't mean that they improved, but like a 68% is a pretty huge number in my opinion. Okay, William, what are you going to do here?
You guys notice every time Bob Dice, he becomes the head coach, but they never keep him until, like, they never make him the head coach forever, okay?
No,
coach, and that's it, okay? So, anyways, fuck, you know what? Let's just throw shit to the wind. Let's go Ottawa 38.
Okay, Rudy.
Montreal, 43.
I like Will's attitude, but I just simply can't do it. Montreal, 42.
Well, you know, but the way I look at here's the way I look at the Winnipeg game, and you guys haven't experienced this like I have. All those fucking years, Calgary ran away with first place. The last four or five games of the year is really, really hard to stay motivated. And you got guys coming into your city. Got guys coming into your city where the game means a hell of a lot more to them. I don't think it really does mean that much more to Edmonton, but you know what? What the hell? Let's go out on a chance. You never know. Because, I mean, you think about...
My point here is Winnipeg isn't in that ballpark right now. They have not... They've not finalized everything. They can't throw this weekend away.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Okay, because the team they really have to beat is BC back-to-back, right?
Yep.
So this Edmonton game means nothing to them. And the other thing I would start to get antsy about is leaving Zach Collaros in there. Because if he gets hurt, you're fucked. And would you like to lose him in a nothing game? That's my question.
You know, and we have been talking about this since 2019, that Zach Collaros
is
one hit away from a wheelchair. And
yes, we
and
have.
They've won two Grey Cups with him. That one hit.
That what?
I just don't know when.
You cut out.
No, but you cut out, CJ. But if you look at, I don't know if you ever noticed Zach Collaros, he wears a kazoo helmet, okay? So I don't think he's ever going to get hurt.
I think his head's better. I think he's good to go. He's taken a few hits over the last couple of years, and he's popped right back up.
He hasn't taken hits to the noggin, Rudy. Trust me.
He's had a few where they've came close, Will.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. Anyways, let's hope it doesn't happen, but it could happen. For that matter, fuck the head. What about a knee? What about a leg? What about an arm? Remember Kevin Glenn in 2000 and what was it? 10, whatever. Like I said,
yeah,
if he gets hurt, they're done. They're done.
Yeah, I might have to agree. Yeah.
Mhm.
But I don't think they'll pull him out for the last couple of games, maybe even the last game of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's a tough one. It's tough to do. I mean, they have not secured top, and they have three games left. So, is it three? They've got a bye in between the two BC games, don't they?
Yeah, they have three.
Yes, they do.
Right. So they play back-to-back BC, where BC plays Edmonton in between the two Winnipeg games. Yeah, okay. Well, so be it. Let's see what's going on next. Where do you guys want to go to? We've done our things. We're going to have to go to the agenda here and see what's happening. We've still got 30 minutes left in the game, in the show, and we just finished talking about the games. That's awesome. I love it. We're talking football. We're having fun with that. Okay, let's see what's happening. Ottawa Fire's head coach, Paul Appelice. Well, we've kind of talked about that
much,
one already.
We pretty much covered that when we were talking about the game earlier.
Yeah. I don't think they should have fired him, personally, and I think that's the general consensus of the panel here. I know it's Will's position, and Rudy said that. Charles, you really didn't have you didn't take a position on that. But
I don't have a problem with it. I didn't think, I just don't think they were getting better, and I'm not a fan of Paul Appelice as a head coach. I think he's a better coordinator. And, yeah, I just didn't think he showed enough improvement to warrant keeping him.
Yeah. not arguing. I just don't know who they're going to get. Is Bob Dice finally going to get to be a head coach?
Probably depend on how well he does in the last four games.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. Okay, we'll just kind of cruise past that one for a second. Quarterback Jake Mayer, Taylor Cornelius signed landmark, partially guaranteed CFL contracts for the first time under the new CBA. This is the CBA where we're actually guaranteeing some of the players' cash. So, and that's in the second season, right?
Yes.
So, interesting.
Who the hell would have thought that one of the first players to get a guaranteed contract would be Taylor Cornelius?
Nobody would have thought that.
No. Well, he's earned it. He's improved.
He's improving. He's getting to better. Jake Mayer, he's not performing as good as I thought he would. Probably about where Will said he was going to be. Am I correct there, Will? Is Jake Mayer doing kind of where you thought he would be?
Yeah, more or less. He's not hurting them, but he's not. In my mind, he hasn't been that outstanding. I mean, you can talk all you want about Toronto scoring 2 points the other day, but McLeod Bethel Thomas had more passing yards than Jake Mayer did. Not by much, but he had more passing yards. So, he hasn't hurt them. Okay, and I think with him, it's just a matter of experience. That's all.
Yeah.
And he is playing with some new guys, and so, you know, it'll be a matter of time. I don't, like I said, Dave Dickinson has said he's done things that young guys don't normally do, but he also does things that young guys normally do. So, but he says he's doing better than most guys would do. So, to me, because Mayer hasn't been flashy, once again, it proves to me that Bo Levi Mitchell is done forever. So
are you as a Stampeders fan comfortable with this?
With what?
With Jake Mayer being your number one quarterback now?
Well, he's winning games. It's all that matters in Calgary. It's all about the W, remember? I don't care if it was Fido Bido playing quarterback or Marcus Crandall playing quarterback. It doesn't matter as long as they win. Okay, because like everything, and we know this is going to happen, and I knew it would happen when it first started. Eventually, Bo Levi Mitchell would go away, just like Nathan Rourke is going to go away, just like Doug Flutie did go away. It happens all the time. And then you move on
No one plays forever.
And hopefully they're good. So.
Yeah, I've been a fan of the CFL for 51 years. There's not a single player out there still playing.
I mean, my two favorite all-time quarterbacks.
Many of them are still alive.
My two favorite all-time quarterbacks were Jeff Garcia and Matt Dunnigan. So.
Yeah. I liked when Matty played. I liked watching Buck Pierce play. I was kind of a fan of Dave Dickinson. I like that style of quarterback that Mike Riley, where he's in the pocket and shit's going sideways and then he'll take off. I don't like the quarterback who we're talking about, Cody Fajardo and Damon Allen, who their first instinct is to run the ball. They want to run the ball because they're an athlete. And they want to go up and get yards. Quarterbacks that run successfully usually do so because the pass wasn't there. Does that make sense? Am I making sense with this one?
Yes. Eventually, eventually the guys that can run turn into passers eventually. Perfect example is Matt Dunnigan. His early years in Edmonton, he'd run first and then throw the ball, and he eventually learned how to be a drop-back passer. Another one, it would be Tracy Hamm. He's another guy who became a drop-back quarterback. Okay, and they still had that running ability in their back pocket if they used it.
Mm-hmm.
But as time went by, they stopped using it because they could throw the ball, and they used to be able to throw themselves out of trouble. So.
Yeah. I always think the first attitude is more with a quarterback, like a younger quarterback who doesn't have experience, mm-hmm. but a lot of times the younger quarterbacks will kind of grow out of that, but there are some guys that just happen.
Yes. Yeah.
Damon Allen never grew out of it.
Good quarterbacks.
Nope.
Yeah, but Damon Allen was a special case. I mean, sorry, how many Grey Cups does he have? Six?
Yeah, I don't know.
I believe so.
I don't think it's six. I don't think it's
He's
six.
He's a winner.
I always thought that Damon Allen wanted to be a running back because his brother was.
Like his brother?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyhow, I'm happy for both of these quarterbacks. And they're both in the province of Alberta, coincidentally. And it's interesting that they kind of went off and did that. And it kind of caught me off guard for both of these signings because they were right two-thirds of the way through the season. And it's like, why now? And it seemed to have worked for Taylor Cornelius because he's played quite well since he got the contract. So, I don't know. Rudy, what do you got to say about this? Are you still here with us? I haven't heard you in a while.
Yeah. Where are we now?
Were you sleeping?
Oh, I was dozing off there, yeah.
We're talking about quarterbacks Jake Mayer and Taylor Cornelius have signed landmark, partially guaranteed CFL contracts for the first time under the new CBA. Segment 7.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They're younger quarterbacks. The CFL needs quarterbacks right now, you know. There's teams that will... They'll be looking for guys this summer, and Edmonton and Calgary, you know, they got their guys, and they locked them up. Whether these guys are the real deal or not, or can win championships, that is yet to be proven. But I don't know. I think Mayer shows a lot of promise. You guys like Cornelius a lot more than I do, but, again, we'll see what happens. I haven't seen enough of them yet.
Okay. So, where did we go here with this? Yeah, that one's over. Let's go somewhere else now. Saskatchewan Rough Riders know where they stand as the big game looms in their crossover spot in jeopardy. Or looms. Is there... Hey, it's the wrong there, Charles. That's what flipped me up here.
My mistake.
Crossover spot is in jeopardy. Well, we've talked about this one as well, where Saskatchewan is 2 points up on Hamilton, or sorry, two wins up on Hamilton and 2 wins up on Edmonton. So Edmonton, it would be a real push for them to catch Saskatchewan right now, where Hamilton just has to be equal to. And with Hamilton having a game in hand and they're having a head-to-head this weekend, the outcome is going to be very interesting, I'll tell you that. If Saskatchewan wins this game, I think they're crossing over. If they don't win this game, it's a toss-up at this point in time. Go ahead, Will.
Hey, you know what the nice thing about if Hamilton wins this, we probably won't hear from Saskatchewan fans for at least 6 months, okay? Because they have nothing to argue. Their team is pathetic.
That doesn't stop them. Are you serious?
Guys, look at the post I put up today. Let me have my fantasy, okay?
That's what it is.
Yeah, it's not very, very likely, though.
Then we'll just hear them complaining how they got cheated or some nonsense like that.
I mean, let's face facts.
It's all the refs' fault. Yeah, but it's all because of that guy hit Cody Fajardo in the knee once, and he's been injured all year. That's why he hasn't played well.
Who? What? Cody Fajardo?
Yes. They were talked about his knee for like 5 weeks straight.
Fuck you.
Yeah, of course it is.
The ref's fault. Where have you been?
Right.
So,
anyways,
Saskatchewan is in a free fall. I honestly don't think they're going to survive it. It's not going to be pretty. It's actually kind of fun. I've been talking a lot with Belton Johnson lately, and he's kind of fun about things. Did you see his political statement? It was awesome.
No, I missed that.
Oh, yeah. I asked him what he thought about that article I posted on Dickinson, and he gave me a politician answer. And he thought it was kind of funny. Anyhow, beside the point. Go read them out, see what happens. Anybody else got anything to say about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders here and their crossover position? Is there anything we've missed?
Oh, yeah, one thing. We did miss one thing.
What?
Sorry, it was my water. It was my water. The one thing we missed was Riders suck. Okay? Sorry.
Yeah. I was thinking that, too. You know, it never gets old. But you know that gangster guy in the car? I don't remember his name. With the rapper. And he's driving down. It's a good day when the Riders lose. I never get tired of seeing that one.
That's Ice Cube.
Oh, is it Ice Cube?
Yes.
Ice Tea or something? Ice Cube? Yeah. Yeah. It's always a good day to Riders lose. Okay. Moving right along, the Edmonton Elks receiver Kenny Lawler undergoes season-ending surgery. Did the Elks waste their money? Well, nobody anticipates an injury like this. The big question is, will he be back next year in time, depending on how severe the injury is? Kenny Lawler hasn't had a bad year. It's not outstanding. He's not top of the league or anything else, but he's not far off, is he? I haven't looked at the stats recently.
No, I was looking the other day. He's top 10.
Yeah.
He's now what I was trying to find, I was wondering if his contract's prorated or not. So he signed for $300,000 and, you know, that'll roughly be around, I don't know, just under $17,000 a game. So I think he's going to end the season only. Go ahead.
He's going to get paid his money because he's injured. Okay, they don't not pay you because he's injured. He's guaranteed the money for the rest of the year now. He would have been after Labor Day anyhow, being a veteran. But the point is, yeah, just because he's injured doesn't mean his salary gets prorated. What he may lose out on, which is possible, is any part of that 300 grand that was a bonus for, like, getting 1,000 yards because he came up at, what, 894. He's 106 yards shy of 1,000. So he probably missed a bonus in there for that. He might have missed a playing bonus for only playing 17 game or 14 games or whatever it was. He's only played 12 games this year, actually. So, you know, his performance, what am I looking for here? Benchmarks probably haven't been met this year. So I don't know if he's got the full 300,000.
Well, I think it was all guaranteed.
I don't know. I didn't hear the structure of his contract. But very rarely is it all guaranteed.
That would surprise me.
Yeah.
I think that's why I went to Edmonton over BC. Because it was for only 1 year, but it was 300K guaranteed.
Well, maybe it could be.
Because I believe they paid a pretty good percentage of his salary in signing bonuses.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you say that, I think I remember hearing that too, that they paid a large portion in signing bonuses.
Yeah,
we're
didn't say in that article.
BC had a 2-year contract on the table.
That's right.
And it might have, but I think it was for slightly less, or it wasn't guaranteed. I don't know.
Oh, maybe he took the money and run. Who knows?
Yeah, hang on. The signing with the Elks last year ultimately came in at $180,000 prorated, as the league spent only to the salary cap floor, and Walker fell short of meriting the thing. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, there's nothing here that really says anything about it. So we don't know.
Oh, wait.
I looked at about 3 different articles. There was really nothing that said about it. There was the word prorated came up a couple times and a couple bonus and things in there, but they were usually talking about somebody else at that time. I don't know. See what happens. Anyhow, Kenny Lawler is done. It's toast for the season. He underwent season-ending surgery. What is it that he blew out? That was his knee, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, it was his shoulder.
Okay.
It was his
shoulder.
I think it was his shoulder.
It is.
Yeah. Ending surgery on his collarbone. I broke my clavicle once. It wasn't a good thing. Very painful. Hard to do anything. Hard to sleep on one side.
So, do you think he's back in Edmonton next year?
What's that?
Do you think he's back in Edmonton next year?
I think he has to be. I don't think Chris Jones can afford to pay him $300,000 next year, but I think that Jones is going to try to sign him.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Chris Jones only signed him this year for that because he knew that his team was going to suck and he needed all the help that he could get. So he brought in the league's best receiver. He wants to keep that receiver, but he needs to spend the money somewhere else as well. So it's going to be a tough one, and I don't think anybody is actually going to come to the market for Lawler the way that – and I don't understand why BC did, having Burnham, Whitehead, and Rhymes. Why would they go after Lawler as well? That just made no sense to me at all.
Well, I've always liked Rhymes, but correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he had great stats last year.
No, this was his breakout year. But if you've got Brian Burnham and Lucky Whitehead under contract, why would you go after Kenny Lawler for that amount of money?
I agree, but and it's worked out for them not doing that. But did Whitehead get hurt last game? I know Burnham's done.
Yes, he did.
Year.
Yeah. He hurt his ankle.
So we'll see what happens with that. Now you're looking at, you know, Rhymes, Hafter, Katoy kind of to step up.
That other guy, Sherkholm.
Well, Rhymes is already stepped up because he's the leading receiver in the CFL, so.
Yeah.
Is he right now?
Yep.
Yeah, he's had a great year.
He's about 40 yards ahead. Funny enough that Ottawa's got the number two quarterback in
Jalen Acklin.
Jalen Acklin is number two.
Dalton Schoen is up there, too. He's not Rookie of the Year, I don't know who the hell is.
Oh, he's a slam dunk for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, he's had an outstanding season. And you know what? I don't think the Bombers need him. He's been hurt most of the year.
Yeah. BC's got three receivers in the top 10.
Yep.
So Burnham's done for the season too, though.
Yeah, Burnham is
he
done.
Yes, he is.
But he already missed six games with a collapsed lung.
Yeah, and then he came back and got hurt again.
Yeah. They do say he's played nine games this year. But, I mean, he still had 600 yards.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder if his time in the CFL is starting to come to an end.
Well, it always has. We've all known that he wasn't going to do. They didn't even know if they were going to sign him this year. He obviously came to the table with a realistic offer instead of a G. Roy Simon attitude.
Yeah.
He took a hometown discount for the Lions, no doubt about that.
He did, yeah. But you always start to wonder, too, that if they're starting to get injured over and over again, you start to think, well, maybe they're kind of at the end of the line here, because that starts to happen to receivers, well, generally anyone. When they get towards the end of their career, they start to become more susceptible to injuries. And now this is two relatively major injuries to Brian Burnham in one season, so.
Yes. But, you know, both of them... He was going out. He got laid out. I mean, he absolutely took a rocking hit. Both of them.
Yep.
Most young guys wouldn't survive hits like that. And Burnham just kind of, okay. So, I don't know. Okay. Go back over here to this. And where are we going? Oh, this was an interesting topic. Does anybody have anything to add to Kenny Lawler? William, you got anything to say about him? Don't know, don't care.
Nope, you know what? No, I mean, he was a receiver that they paid too much money to anyways. Receivers get hurt regardless of how much money you give them. And move on. Next man up.
Hey, running out of time on the show here. Last segment, Curtis Rourke is a bit ahead of Nathan as a passer at this stage in his development. Will his brother's success make his stock higher? Fucking right it will. Please tell me which CFL team right now does not have Curtis Rourke on their watch list. He is going to go the number one pick overall in his draft class. It's going to happen.
I disagree, but...
You do? Why?
Because it's his brother. Who the fuck cares? Wayne Gretzky had a brother, didn't he? Actually had a couple.
Who?
Wayne Gretzky's brothers never put up better numbers than he did, though.
Yeah, we're still talking the fucking college football, okay?
Right.
We're still talking college football. And you know what? Let's let the whole Nathan Rourke thing play itself out, because that story's not even begun yet.
True.
Good point.
Right? So, I mean, don't get college football players.
The snippet that we've seen of Nathan Rourke in the CFL.
Yeah, but the one thing you're not thinking about is Nathan Rourke had a year under Mike Riley. Didn't touch the field except for a couple of times. And he's obviously a good learner, okay? And he always obviously picks – I'm going to give him all this credit. He obviously picks things up really well, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if his brother's like that, you know? So, like I said, this whole – I'm curious to see what this whole Nathan Rourke story is going to end up like. And in a perfect world –
Well, you do know –
In a perfect world, he's in the CFL for two more years, and then he's gone.
You know that, yes. You know that he is still number three in passing yards and number two in touchdown passes, and he's five games behind Zach Caleros.
Yeah, he even played in week.
He only played nine games.
And you can only speculate. You can only speculate what he would have done in those games that he's missed.
I'm not going to speculate. I'm just saying that right now, he's still one of the leaders in this league, and he hasn't played for five games.
Right.
He did enough in those first nine games that most of the quarterbacks didn't do in a whole fucking year.
Right.
When's his brother eligible?
He's a junior right now, isn't he? So he's
I
got
believe
two
so,
more years
so that would
college.
Be two more years.
Oh, well, that's a ways away.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot can happen in that period of time.
Sure, but my biggest thing is right now you're spewing stats, okay? I remember Henry Burris went to Hamilton and threw for 6,000 yards each year and went nowhere, okay? I don't care about stats. All I care about is who's winning. That's all that matters.
But what else
stats
do you have to go
matter.
By?
Well,
okay,
stats
okay,
don't
okay,
matter.
Guys,
ask,
sorry, I
got
to close
ask.
The show. Will,
okay.
I got to close
okay.
the show.
Bring
I,
it
I'm
up next week. Bring it up
you.
Next week. Bring it up next
okay.
week.
Let's talk. This has been Let's Talk CFL podcast episode number 505. I've been your host, Christopher Jones. Thank you very much for talking football with us or listening to us. And you guys take care. Enjoy the weekend of football. It's a big weekend for all teams that are playing or for most teams that are playing. 50 seconds left. Charles, say goodnight.
Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
And Rudy, you go at it.
Good night, everyone. Go Owls.
Go Owls. William, it's up to you.
Good night, everybody, and I hope that the